Ramona Williams, and then Brother Skippy Norman. Sermon titled, Where Are You? The scripture is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Scripture reader is Tom Milligan. Presiding at the Lord's table, Hank Davis Jr. and Charles Hopkins Jr. Closing prayer, Greg Shriver. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we are thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to assemble to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask our blessings upon all who are here and upon those who had a desire to be here today but were unable. Father, we're praying that everyone present today will have an open and receptive heart to the lesson and to this service and will benefit therefrom. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. If you want to turn your hymnbooks to page 795. 795. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If that was not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If there was not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just a big glory's anvil, it is eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drifts back from heaven shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Before we go into God in prayer this morning,
Please turn your hymnbook to page 763. 763. We'll sing all three verses.
O land oppressed for thee I serving will, from home and far, when I shall lay my armor but he will, is he set home.
Bow with me in prayer. Our Father God in heaven, Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're just so thankful, Father, that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life and another opportunity, Lord, that on the first day of the new week we can rise up out of our beds this morning, Father, that we can assemble together, Lord, that we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Father. Lord, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto Thee this morning are most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father, and that they're conducted decent and in order and well in accordance with Thy Word, Father. Our Lord, we're thankful for our brother Norman, Father, who stand before us in a few moments and presented to us another portion of Thy Word that we'll study this morning, Father. Lord, we pray that You'd bless him, Father, with a good remembrance of the things that he's prepared to talk with us this morning, and that we'd study and examine him, Father, with an open and receptive heart. And ultimately, Father, that we might all be encouraged, uplifted, and strengthened, Father, from studying Thy Word this morning. Our Father, we're thankful for our congregation that we have here at Cross Street, Father. We'd ask that you continue to bless our elders, our deacon, our preacher, Father, our teachers, and bless all those, Father, that do the work of the church here, Father, as we're try to set a good example in this community, Father, and we try to spread your word and be the shining light in the example that you'd have us to be, Father. Our Lord, at this time, we're also mindful of all those that were mentioned as being sick, Father. We had quite a few names that were mentioned, Father, and a long list that we post in our bulletin that we continue to pray for, Father. We know that you know how all those folks stand in need, Father. We just pray that you continue to wrap your arms around them, Father, that you continue to bless them as they stand in need, comfort them, Father, and that if it would be your will, you might grant unto them the care and the things that they need to be restored to the normal health. Our Father, we're also mindful and thankful for all the many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. They're too numerous to count. They're as numerous as the grains of sand along the shore, Father. But we recognize, Lord, that all these blessings, they all flow from Thee, Father. And we're so thankful to Thee for them. And Lord, we're most thankful for Your grace and love, Father, the grace and love that sent Your Son down upon this earth, Father, to live the perfect life, an example that He did, Father, and ultimately become that Lamb of God, Father, the Lamb of God whose blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father, through His sacrifice and crucifixion, Father. And Lord, we're so thankful to Christ Jesus and the salvation that was extended to us, Father. And we pray as we live our lives, Lord, that our actions and our words, our deeds, the conduct that we live, Father, would just continue to be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we continue in our worship this morning, we pray that you'd continue to watch over each and every one of us that's here, Father, that you continue to bless us, that you'd forgive us of those areas that we may have fallen short in, Father, as we repent from those things and do our best to not repeat them anymore, Father. We'd ask that you'd be with us throughout the further worship this morning, Father, and that all might be conducted decent and in order and be pleasing unto Thee, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your notebooks to page 310. 310. See verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Jesus keep me here across. There's a precious
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 32, it tells us to partake of the Lord's Supper, to not partake of this Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. You know, to make sure that we always take it according to the will of our Heavenly Father. You know, there's certain times in human nature to want to change things up, you know, to try to do things our way. And we have to understand that the significance of this Lord's Supper. You know, and that's why here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we're going to do it the way that it has been instructed to us in the Scripture. And we take our time, we preside to make sure, first off, that we understand the significance of the Lord's Supper, that we're going to say a prayer for the bread, we're going to say a prayer for the fruit of the vine. It's always going to be done that way. It's never going to be done any different, because that's not what our Lord and Savior instructed us to do. So at this time, as we prepare to prepare for the bread, let us give thanks at this time. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for giving us another day to come together, Heavenly Father, worship service unto you, to come together in fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father. Another day to partake unto this service in a manner in which you have instructed us to do, Heavenly Father. To have this opportunity to clear our minds, Heavenly Father, to reflect back on that day on the cross when our son Jesus gave his life, even though he was without sin, Heavenly Father, to take on the sins of this world, Heavenly Father, so that we can escape the punishment that we deserve from all our sins, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that as we partake of this bread, that we do so in a manner that it be pleasing, that it'll honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, let's give thanks for the cup. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow this morning, Father, thanking you so much for how much you've loved us so much by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on the cross for the remission of our sins. Lord, we ask that that you bless this cup, Father, which represents his shed blood on that cross, Father. And we ask that if we do so, that we'll do so that is in a way that is pleasing unto thee. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, if you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of worship service, which is giving. And once again, the emphasis is put on the manner in which we should give, as you can read in 2 Corinthians 9:7. No, this is not a time to be hesitant or to question why. But this is a joyous occasion to be able to give back and to show our gratitude to our Lord and Savior for all that he has blessed us with. So let us keep that in mind as we give thanks for giving. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. We can never be thankful enough for all thy blessings, Heavenly Father. You rise us from our beds this morning. You give us the gift of life. You've created all that we see, all the beauty in this world, Heavenly Father. It is you that have blessed us with our health, with sound minds, Heavenly Father. Give us the compassion, Heavenly Father, to care for those in need. And we're just so thankful, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to go out to provide for our loved ones, Heavenly Father, and for this opportunity that you have given us to give back a portion of the many blessings you have given us, Heavenly Father. And we pray that as we do so at this time, Heavenly Father, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, mark the hymnbooks to page 890. 890, that would be our song of encouragement. After marking that, please turn to page 971. 971. Take all three words.
Trials come on every hand, and we cannot understand all the way that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. For you guide us in this life, and will follow till we die. We will understand it better, by and by, we'll sing in my mind. You know what?
Again, the sermon topic to today's lesson is, where are you spiritually? And the scripture reading is taken from the book of Hebrews. That's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Brother, skip.
Such say good morning. Surely God has been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to the house of worship, to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Just want to thank Brother Greg for filling in on last week. You've done a great job on your lesson on last week. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise, eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we just again thank you for this day and for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here and those who have called in on our conference call. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, things that it has to say to us. That, Lord, we look back over our lives, that we, if we are not living in accordance to your holy and divine word, that, Lord, that you give us the courage to make the necessary correction before it's too late. Forgive us of any sin we have committed through thought, word, or deed, knowingly or unknowingly. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We just concluded on Wednesday dealing with spiritual growth. We talked a few lessons on obstacles. Week before last, we dealt with a sermon of hindrances to our own spiritual growth. And so this morning, we need to ask ourselves, as individuals, where are we spiritually? And that's an individual question that we need to look within ourselves just to see where we are spiritually. And in order to do that, we have to ask ourselves questions. Are you growing? Is your faith exciting to you? Are you bored? Are you disconnected? Because there are times in all of our lives when Christians struggle to grow in their faith. Over time, we see people who were excited about Jesus walked away. Maybe you have experienced a lure in your walk where things are just not connecting with you. Maybe you focus on the wrong things. Maybe it's people, maybe it's situations, maybe it's problems, and so on. People wouldn't know it just by looking at you. But maybe your faith isn't quite as strong as it once were. Spiritual growth isn't so much like taking a step after step towards God. It's so often two steps forward and one step backwards, or two steps forward and three steps backwards. Hopefully you get the idea. And so the question again comes, am I moving backwards? Am I stagnant? Or am I moving forward? Maybe you have had feelings that God is so disappointed in you. You did that again. You still struggle with that. I thought you were past this. But here is the cool thing that we see over and over in the life of Jesus. And that is, Jesus always called people to a higher standard, but he did not destroy them when they fell short. Jesus encouraged them to grow, because Jesus was the ultimate encourager. He was always cheering people on. Get back up. Try it again. I believe in you. And that's why people were constantly flocking to Jesus. And so the question comes, why do I need spiritual discipline to grow in my faith? Because we as a church, we will produce not just what we say, but what we do. Your spiritual maturity is bigger than you because it impacts others. Do you have a faith that will attract others to Jesus, or do you have a faith that will draw people away from Jesus? Because Jesus calls for the church to reach the world. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 8 through verse number 20. But for that to happen, it has to begin with each one of us growing to spiritual maturity. So let's look at our text this morning in Hebrews chapter 5. And when you look at verse number 11 and verse 12, he says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. But when the time, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
When I look at this, the first thing that I want you to consider this morning is that I need spiritual discipline to grow my faith, because a lack of spiritual growth is not supposed to be the standard for Christians. When you look at this situation, the situation, it sounds bad. But when you look at this, the Hebrew writer is in the previous section of this chapter, he starts to talk about the priesthood of Melchizedek. And what he's quoting is he's quoting from Psalms 110 and verse number 4. But before he expounds on that important Old Testament passage, he needs to make sure that the readers are ready to understand it. The Hebrew writer, he gets a little harsh at them there in verse number 12. And verse number 11, he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. In other words, we have a great deal to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, because since you have become too lazy to understand. The folk had gotten to the point that they were no longer trying to understand things. And the readers that he's addressing are Christians. It seems like that they had not given up on God, but rather they had given up trying to move forward spiritually. And the question comes, is that where we are spiritually? As we think about it, have we given up moving forward spiritually? Because this isn't supposed to be the norm for Christians. We are called to be growing all of the time. Because see, one can get to the point where they are going through the motions of their faith without ever growing. You show up, you just listen, and you go back doing the same thing. No growth in your spirituality. And we have to understand is that when you are hungry to grow, everything you learn is exciting. And it's possible to be at church every Sunday and no longer trying to be growing closer to Jesus. That's just going through the motion. I'm just here so folk can don't bother me, so they can see that I'm here. But I'm not going to grow closer to the Lord. And so the people still need it. Elementary truths talk to them. Apparently, they had sufficiently time to grow, but they had not grown. And so the Hebrew writer is addressing to them. And then in verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Although by this time you should have been teachers, you need somebody to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. And what you need is you need milk You don't need no solid food. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, listen, you should be off the boat by now and on to steak. You need to grow up spiritually. And if you are not intentionally in growing in spiritual maturity, then over time, you're going to drift away from Almighty God. So it's not that you purposely walk away from God. What happens is you have just gotten complacent. You've gotten to the complacent to the point where one day you wake up and you wonder, how did I get here? How did I drift so far from Almighty God? If you have a baby, you expect the baby to need milk, and then baby food, and then adult food. Am I right? You expect that. And so, would it be odd if your 4-year-old, if your 14-year-old, if your 24-year-old was still on milk? It would be odd. And so we understand that in the physical world, growth is expected. But the same is true in the spiritual world. How do you know that? When you drop down, we're going to look at, drop down to chapter 6 and verse number 1 through 3, because I need spiritual discipline to grow my faith, because God's desire is for you to grow to spiritual maturity. Look at chapter 6 and verse number 1. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. This will we do, if God permit. We are called to leave the elementary message about the Messiah. And I hope this morning that all of us will want to be able to be on the path of spiritual maturity. I'm sure we all want to be in shape, don't we? And so I would venture to say that we would all like to know why we believe what we believe. And so the Hebrew writer reminds us that God desires us to grow. And this is not just something we should want, but it's something God wants for us to do. Why is that? Do you know? Did you know when you have children, you want your children to mature? Don't we? And so do you want your 16-year-old to act like a 2-year-old? Do you want to keep bailing out your 40-year-old out of trouble like a 16-year-old? And so you don't want that. But does that make you an unreasonable, terrible parent for desiring your children to grow up as reasonable adults? No. Well, why is that? Because growing up is what is best for your children. Now let that sink in. Let that sink in. Why do you think God wants you to grow? Think about it. We all want the end result. We want to be mature and maturing. But the problem is getting there. That's what we want. But getting there is the problem. We want a deep faith. We want to not get ticked off at the drop of a hat. We want to not get stressed out by little stuff. We want that. We want to be people who are kind and forgiving and secure in who we are as God's son and God's daughter. We don't want to be devastated every time somebody critiques us. We want to be full of joy and for people to say that they look up to us. And so we want God at the end of our lives to say, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. Well, look at verse 13 and 14. Go back to chapter 5. He says now, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of us have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so that is a word that we look at. When you look at that, he's talking about practice by systematic training. And so what do you mean? The passage says, train themselves. They were responsible for training themselves, not God, not the preacher, not their parents, but themselves. In other words, you have a part to play in your growth. You can't sit up there and blame the teacher, blame the preacher, blame the elders. Look at yourself. What are you doing to contribute to the growth and development of your spiritual life? And so we got to understand that we need to be training. And so that brings me to my third point, that I need spiritual discipline to grow my faith, because it's time to stop trying and start training. It's time to stop trying and start training. We got to train ourselves. We are not merely a sailboat that God's wind push when it comes to spiritual growth. Listen, we also have oars in the water. God works with us and through us. But we got to do our part. God has done his part. So we got to do our part. So to grow, we need to quit trying and start training. And so here's the point for us to grasp. That if we are going to grow in spiritual maturity, we need to realize that there is a difference between trying to do something and training to do something. There's a difference in trying to do something and training to do something. See, training is required for any significant challenges in your life. And while it's difficult, training always leads to more joy. It leads to more fulfillment. Look at 1 Corinthians. Paul tells the church there in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 25. He said, every man that's striving for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, an incorruptible. And then he goes on and says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture, it's given by inspiration of God. It's prompted for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so training methods used to grow in your faith are called spiritual discipline. We got to discipline ourselves. They are valuable, because they enable us to do what we could not do with willpower alone. For example, how do you discipline? Read and study your Bible. You're disciplining yourself. Prayer. It enables God to train us. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Yeah, we got to train ourselves to grow spiritually. And so, as I close, I want to give you a few thoughts on discipline. Number one, decide you're going to train. You got to decide that I'm going to do what it takes to grow spiritually. You cannot just drift into spiritual training. You got to decide. You got to devote yourself. You got to commit yourself. Prayer, reading. Because if I'm going to grow spiritually, church, it does not happen by accident. You got to work at it. I'm going to be all that God wants me to be. Secondly, I got to get a workout plan. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Physically. When we're trying to train, when we're trying to get our bodies in shape, don't we have a workout plan? And so spiritually, you got to have a workout plan. You need to set some goals. What are you trying to achieve to allow me to get spiritually mature? Because there are some basic spiritual habits that are good for all Christians. But then there are some that are bad. But then there are some that are more specific in what you are dealing with in life. That means that I got to get in the Word. I got to do what the Word says so I can be able to grow. And then, you got to take the first step. You just can't say that, man, I want to grow. I want to be healthy. And never do anything about it. Never take the first step in doing it. So if you want to grow spiritually, you got to start today. You can't say I'm going to put it off. Well, let me start next week. No. You start today. Start today. Because the good news is that faith is contagious. And when you take a step of faith, it always grows more faith in you. But you got to have that step of faith. It's why Jesus said that faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. When you take the step of faith, it doesn't stay the size of a mustard seed too long. But then finally, I suggest to you to move from gap to get to. You got to move from gap to get to. God's ultimate goal is not that you would just obey him, but that you will love him. And obedience will overflow out of that. Because God is the only one that can transform you within. And so you got to be able to do your part. When we do something we get to do, we are motivated than doing things that we got to do. Oh, y'all understand? When we do something we get to do, and man, we get to do this if we want to. We are motivated than doing things that I got to do. And so Hebrews 12:12, remember my final scripture is this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 through 3, and this lesson is yours. He says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, not looking at other folk, but he says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Notice what he did. He says now, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he's set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Y'all listen. The crowd is cheering. They're cheering for you to press on. They're cheering for you to mature like God wants you to do. But what you got to do is stop trying and start training. If you're here, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you heard the word, believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you're here a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, Maybe you went back. Maybe you've got stagnant. Now is the time to move forward. Continue to move forward in your faith, in your walk with the Lord, because one day you want to hear him say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant, thou been faithful with a few things. Come and I make you ruler over many. If you hear this morning's service invitation, come right now to stand and sing the song. Let me take you.
Fearless soul of heavenly leader, wandering from the fold of God, hear you not the exhortation of prepare to
To face of your blood.